congratulations to everybody for completing the entire Brahma Samhita here on a Saturday morning. This yajna you've completed now can never be taken back. It's eternally recorded. Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayona vidite swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayad. Going on in this way, every yajna that we perform to please the Lord, by chanting prayers, by bowing down before Him, by doing some service for Him, all these things bring us to the transcendental platform. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya etan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. We're struggling here in this world with the three modes of material nature. However, by engaging in the Lord's service, it's like boarding an airship by which we transcend those modes. We can rise above them by the Lord's mercy. And we gain the Lord's mercy by performing these kinds of bhakti yoga. Hearing, chanting, praying, remembering, rendering service, being a friend to the Lord, offering some articles of worship, and surrendering our entire life, putting our head before the Lord, saying, "Everything I have is yours." And in this way, we retain our original constitutional position, which is to be eternal servants of the Lord, unfettered by matter. We're living in this world in which we're controlled by the modes of material nature. We can't move very far here. And it's like if you drive down the street, you have to be careful. Don't go over the speed limit. Otherwise, you'll be pulled over and given a reprimand or a ticket. You have to appear in court and explain yourself or pay a fine. You have to keep to the right. You have to do it. Everything has to follow the rules. And nowadays, too, to travel from one border to the next, over each border, you have to have some visa. It requires so many negotiations, sometimes not even possible. Yes, you can come, but only for 1 year. Yes, you can come, but under these circumstances. You can come, but your wife can't come. So on and so forth. All these things mean durga, means difficult to go. Dur means difficult, gachati means to go. So the whole world that we live in, this realm, is called dur gachati. It's very difficult to go anywhere. So because we're bound down by the three modes of material nature. Tribir gunamayer bhaver ebi sarvamidam jagat. Muhitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Krishna says, everyone's bewildered, bound down by these three modes, this combination of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So they don't know me, who am avyayam, and above the modes. It means he's inexhaustible, and he's not controlled by the modes of nature. So by hearing the vibration of Krishna consciousness, by hearing the vibration of the Brahma Samhita, which comes from the spiritual world, by hearing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and continuously staying within the realm of that vibration wherever we go, whether it's our car, whether it's our house, whether it's our own mind, while we're sleeping, while we're awake, we need to have these everyday regular infusions, some kind of program to purposefully hear these things so that we can stay within the realm of transcendental sound that will take us above the three modes of material nature. And at the time of death, by this type of practice, the accumulated effect of hearing these vibrations, performing service to the Lord throughout our life, at the time of death, it's the time we're transferring. Dehino smin yata dehe komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. We'll become dhira, means undisturbed by the change from one body to the next. And we'll be able to remember the Lord at the time of death and attain our original spiritual form by which we can actually engage in His service with no limitation. Narada Muni is not bound by the immigration laws. He can go anywhere. He's not bound by the speed limit. He can go as fast as he likes. And that's the desire of the soul. That's why human beings are always trying to go faster, go higher, because it's innate within the soul to want to fly like a bird, like to go to the bottom of the ocean. Now that we've come to the human form of life and we've realized our actual spiritual nature to some degree, we have this propensity to want to explore the depths of poetry, literature, and then space travel. Go here, there, everywhere, because that's our nature. But we're bound down. We can only go so far when we're controlled by the three modes of material nature. So by hearing these prayers and regularly holding these yajñas as a daily function, then we become fixed up in the spiritual realm, and Krishna will begin to transport us out of the three modes of material nature and into his eternal service. So now we're in our sadhana, in our sadhaka form. We come to Krishna consciousness with some desire, and we enter into the association of devotees, take initiation, and make a vow to, you know, perform this regular hearing and chanting. And then we go through a transformational process. We no longer have a material body. It's a sadhaka deha. It's a practitioner's body. And everything that that happens to us in that condition is different from what happens to people who are not within that realm. There's a lot of ignorance out there in the world. Last night I met a man who's actually from India, and he was he had been having something to drink, I think, also. But he had a very unique philosophy. I'd never heard this before. He said, when you die, everything's finished. You ever heard that before? I'd never heard that before. I said, sir, that's such a unique philosophy you have. Did you think that up yourself? And he said, and so only what you can experience through your senses here is real in this world. Everything else is just based on faith. You have, there's nothing. I said, oh, very interesting philosophy. It's very unique. This is being propagated, actually. I heard the other day on NPR radio some professor, a PhD in philosophy, and he's written a book called God's Problem. And it's all about, he used to be a Christian, and then he became an agnostic and an atheist, and, you know, he's preaching, and it's a best-selling book now. And he's talking all about how, actually, you know, there is no God. All there is just what we have here today, somehow or other. And, you know, just out of frustration, he's come to this point, because he has no real information, or he's not been able to transcend the modes of material nature through the direct process of the Bhagavat Marg. And so he comes to all these conclusions, but he's propagating this all over the world, and people are reading and taking this. So it's also our duty to propagate Krishna consciousness, because people are suffering due to all these philosophies that lead them in the wrong direction, that, oh, there is no God, you're God, everything's God. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what path you follow. Just enjoy and then die. And this is a disastrous path for a human being, because there's a specific purpose for the human form of life, which is to inquire. And the answers are there. As Lord Jesus said in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. So people forget even to ask. They just think that there's nothing here in this world. So just as the propagation's going on like anything, for this idea of atheism, for agnosticism, and all kinds of deviant philosophies, we must be very vigilant to propagate Krishna consciousness, to use our energies, our bodily strength, our life airs, our wealth, whatever we have, in order to propagate Krishna consciousness. This will have an eternal effect. And Prabhupada instructed us once. He said, go out and collect up the fortunates. They're out there. People that are waiting to take to Krishna consciousness, they're innocent. They're like, spiritually, they're like children. They're very open and wondrous. And when they hear about Krishna, when they hear the chanting, when they read a book, then they become eager to find out more. And Krishna will direct them from within the heart. So this is our mission here. Our mission is to daily take this dose of hearing and chanting so that we can transcend the modes of material nature, so that we don't also become like the good doctor who says, oh, actually, after everything, there is nothing. And when you die, that's it. And become bewildered by these things. The only way to do that is if we're directly engaged ourselves in experiencing the transcendent nature of the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the transcendental nature of the Bhagavad Gita by hearing it daily. And then our duty is to go out and give it to as many people as possible, to use our breath to explain what is Bhagavad Gita, to teach it to others. This is very pleasing to the Lord. He says that one who preaches Bhagavad Gita to the other devotees, to that person, I guarantee him, he comes back to me. There's no one more dear to me than that person in this world, than that person who uses his life breath to preach about the Bhagavad Gita. So that's our simple duty in life, and the more that we do that, the more we form that jagya, the more we'll become happy and successful. Om Tat Sat. And there's this verse today we're looking at on page 97. Dharmo tapapa nichaya shrutayas tapamsi brahmadi ki tapatagava deyash jiva yadatta matra vibhava prakata prabhava govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. This word for word, dharma, virtue, ata also, papa nishchaya, all vices, shrutaya, the Vedas, tapamsi, penances, brahma adi, beginning from Lord Brahma, kita patanga, insects, avadaya, down to, cha, and, jiva, jivas, yat, by whom, datta, conferred, matra, exclusively, vibhava, by the power, prakata, manifested, prabhava, potencies, govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Translation, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. Does that include everyone here? From Brahma down to the meanest insect? It includes everybody, right? Okay, purport. You want to hear the purport?
Yes.
Who wants to hear the purport?
I do.
Okay, who doesn't want to hear the purport? Raise your hand. Raise it high now. Okay. By dharma is meant the allotted functions of varna and ashram manifested by the 20 dharma shastras on the authority of the Vedas. Of these two divisions, varna dharma is that function which is the outcome of the distinctive natures of the four varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And ashram dharma is that function which is appropriate to the respective ashrams or stations of those who belong to the four stages, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. All customary activities of mankind have been targeted in these twofold divisions. Sins means nescience. What does sins mean? The root of all sins and sinful desire, also the greatest iniquities and sins flowing from them, and the ordinary sins, that is, all sorts of unprincipled conduct. The category of the Shrutis means Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, and the Upanishads, which form the crest jewels of the Vedas. The tapas means all regular practices that are learnt with the view of the attainment of the proper function of the self. In many cases, example, in the form known as panchatapas, these practices are of a difficult character. Yoga, with its eight constituent limbs and devotedness to the knowledge of the undifferentiated Brahman and included therein. All these are so many distinctive features within the revolving round of the fruit of activities of conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are embarked on a sojourn of successive births from the 84 lakhs of varieties of generating organs. They are differentiated into different orders of beings as devas, danavas, rakshasas, manavas, nagas, kinaras, and gandharvas. These jivas, from Brahma down to the small insect, are infinite in type. They make up the aggregate of the conditioned souls from the degree of Brahma to that of the little fly, and are the distinctive features within the revolving wheel of karma. Every one of them is endowed with distinctive powers as individuals and is powerful in a particular sphere. These powers are, by their nature, not fully developed in them. The degree of power and nature of property vary according to the measure of manifestation of the possessions of the individual conferred upon him by Sri Govinda. Every living being has some conferred power, and it comes from Krishna. And you notice every living being in this universe that you can observe, even the tiny little insect or the microbe, has some special power invested in it, which is amazing. And actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, observe how every soul is amazing. Ascharyavat pashati kashchadenam. Ascharyavat varati tatayava chanyat. Ascharyavat anyashrinopti. Shrutvapyenam venanachayava kashchit. He said that some see the soul as amazing. Some hear of him as amazing. Some, even after hearing about him, can't understand him at all. Ascharyavat, the soul is amazing because it's a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna said, Mamayvamsha jivaloke, jiva bhuta sanatana. That soul actually is, what is it? I mean, I'm looking at you right now, and you're looking back at me. You have consciousness, and you have power. You have independence. You can make choices. You could act in which way you want. And also, look at the conferred power you've been given by the body that you have right now. What can you do with this body? It's more powerful than all the computers in the world. And each one of the limbs has its own function. The brain and everything else works together as one unit centered around the mind. And, you know, this particular human form of life is absolutely incredible. It manifests the potency of the soul more than any of the other 8,400,000 species of life. And we've been this power has been conferred upon us. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami that this human life is very rarely achieved. Amongst all the different human species, it's rare to get this human body. And rarer still, then one comes to the opportunity of spiritual life once one has that body. He said it's like logs floating in a river. They're all just floating forever. It's a river that has no end. And they're floating down, and every once in a while, one of those logs makes its way to the shore and somehow gets washed up on the shore. And that log becomes distinct from the other log. So similarly, souls are going through the wheel of karma, and that's eternal. It's anadi. It's going on from since time immemorial, beginningless time. And somehow or other, if we have the good fortune to get the human form of life and come in contact with spiritual life, this is the rarest, most special thing. So whatever is there available in Vedic culture is meant ultimately to come to this stage of Krishna consciousness. Mukubahuru padebhya purushasya asramai saha. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Chatvaro jagnire varna guna vipradrayo pratak, that there are different varnas in this world. Mukha means... What's mukha?
Face.
Yeah, mukha. So who comes from the face? The Brahmins, yeah. Mukha bahuru. Baha, bahu? Arms. Who comes from the arms? Kshatriyas. Uru means?
Belly.
So who comes with, yeah, Vaishyas, come from the belly. Padebhya, pada.
Legs.
Who comes from the legs? Shudras. So they're all divine. All these different varnas are actually divine manifestations from the universal body of the Lord. Mukabahuru padebhya purushasya asramai saha. Chatvaro jagnire varna guna vipradayo pratak. They're all these different divisions that are created by the Lord for his worship. So each person, according to their quality of work, they have a purpose. Ya'esha purusam sakshat. That therefore, if one takes to any kind of work in this world and neglects his service to the Lord, he becomes fallen. And he won't achieve the purpose of life. So in whatever situation we're in, whatever conferred power we have, we're meant to come to this point of performing yajna for the Lord. And in this purport, it's mentioned what is said to be the crown jewel of all the Vedas, what was said in the purport. What was the crown jewel of all the Vedas? Huh? Upanishad. So the Upanishads are the crown jewel of all the Vedas. However, Rupa Goswami says, Nikila Shuti Mali Ratnamala, Jiti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta, Aimukta Kalera Pasyamanam Paritastam Harinama Samshrayami. Okay, the crown jewel of all the Vedas is the Upanishads. And what are those Upanishads doing if you open the door and look inside? The personified Upanishads, they're performing artik. Can you imagine? You can imagine, right? The personified Upanishads. You look in, see, you see what they're doing one morning. You look in during Mangal Arati time. You open your door. You creep in and you look. And the Upanishads personified are doing something. What are they doing? Nikila Shuti Mali Ratnamala Dhiti Nirajita Parapankajanta. They're worshiping somebody. Wait a minute. The crown jewel of all the Vedas, they're doing some puja to somebody else. Who are they doing puja for? In what form? They're doing puja to the holy names, to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So you have the Vedas are all there, the Varnas and Ashrams are all there for a specific purpose, and then you come to the crown jewel of explanation of all those things in the Upanishads. But then you find out one morning, you wake up during Mangal Artik and you look in your temple room and the Upanishads are in there doing a Mangal Artik, offering lamps. And you, what are they offering the lamps to? They're offering the lamps to the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, I mukta kaleru pasyamanam, those who have become realized, those who are liberated souls, what are they doing? They're chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, who is the empowered representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said, I mukta kaleru pasyamanam paritastvam harinama samshrayami. I take shelter here. So this is the perfection of life, to take shelter at the lotus feet of the holy name and take it as our life and soul, somehow or other in our life, to keep that vibration of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, going constantly. And then whatever situation, a position of life we're in will become transcendent, will become purified by the association of the holy name of the Lord. So this is our purpose, to constantly chant Hare Krishna and to distribute to as many people as possible, and we will go back home, back to Godhead, without a doubt, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for this effort. So life is short, we're only here for a few moments only, so we have to utilize our time as much as possible. And there's the structure is available through this ISKCON movement that anyone can come into this institution and make the best use of their life by taking a stake in helping to spread the Krishna consciousness movement and organizing their lives around the chanting of Hare Krishna and the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the perfection of life. There's nothing better than this. Everything else is suffering. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Anything that's stuck in your mind from the purport or for any of the verses that you want to bring out? Yes, Prabhuji. Would you mind using the microphone?
Prabhuji, actually, I have some question. First of all, I want to thank you that you got the opportunity to read the whole Dhammasangham. And this is it for the second time. Before that, I have never read the whole Dhammasangham. You have always focused on the verses from 29 onwards to 50-something. So, as I read this again with everyone, I just realized that there are some questions that are there in my mind. Firstly, I was just looking at verse number 23, and I was just wondering, like, who is speaking to whom in this?
To text 23, on coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions, but he could see nothing but darkness in every direction.
Yes.
So who's narrating?
Who is narrating this?
That's a good question. I can do a little more research and let you know. It's not clearly, you know, given at the beginning of Brahma Samhita that somebody specific is speaking. So we could do a little research, give you a better answer.
And Prabhuji, also in the next verse, there is mention about goddess Saraswati. And then few verses after Gayatri. So sometimes I have heard from people that Saraswati and Gayatri, they are always associated with Brahma. So how do we resolve this thing here? It is said that the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord. So if she is the consort of the Supreme Lord, how she is associated with Brahma?
Well, if you look at text 24 and you look at the word for word, it specifically mentioned Divya Saraswati. Uvacha said, put it us in front, tasmai of him, tasya, of him, the Supreme Lord, Divya, divine Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And there's a... there's some commentary on this that I have that explains how Saraswati is an expansion of the goddess Lakshmi. And in that way, she's being described as divine Saraswati, as a consort of the Lord. There's several commentaries on the Brahma Samhita in that way.
And the talking about Gayatri?
Yes.
So, is she also related to, like, is she a consort of Brahma? Or she is like one in the divine form, and then one comes to the material world as consort of Brahma?
Yeah, in this sense, the Gayatri, she is, which verse are you looking at?
So, there is no specific verse here. There are some verses which are talking about Gayatri. Gayatri, the mother of Vedas, verse 27, it is said. And she actually comes from the divine sound of the flute of Lord Krishna.
Right.
So, looks like actually she is coming from the spiritual realm. But we also hear sometimes it is said that Gayatri is actually the consort of Brahma. So this Gayatri, which is talked about consort of Brahma, is she the like material like chaya or the shadow of the original Gayatri which is there in the spiritual world? Can we understand that?
Well, yeah, I think I understand your question, and I'm not exactly sure how to answer it, except for that the Gayatri that's being described here is the, you know, manifestation from the spiritual world. And, you know, we'd have to look a little more into the commentaries if there's anything about that, about the, you know, the difference between one Gayatri and another. I'm not really sure.
Sometimes when there's not a qualified Lord Brahma, Krishna comes as Lord Brahma.
That's true.
So maybe...
Yeah. But this, these manifestations of the Lord, who's he's bringing forth the spiritual sound, you know, from his flute. These are all transcendental, coming from the spiritual world, and you know, like Kama Gayatri is the highest of all the Gayatris, and it's actually explaining the most confidential and intimate forms of the Lord. So it's nothing to do with the material world. It's not mundane or connected to anything that we consider to be the shadow. But it's all the internal potency and expanded from the internal potency. And how the names of, you know, Brahma's consort or such, I'll have to look more into that, but I can give you a more definitive answer.
Like, there are similar kind of small doubts in Brahma Samhita, actually. If you can get some commentaries from someone, or if you have given lectures on this and there is a recording of it, it would definitely help a lot.
Okay.